Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
I like to start off my presentations with a little survey here. So we're going to do a survey of what do you think intelligent design is? How do you think we define intelligent design? You might even be able to see which answer I want you to vote for, but just give me an honest answer, because if you do get the wrong answer, as far as I'm concerned, it just means that you read the newspapers. So what do you think intelligent design is? Is it A, life is so complex that it could not have evolved, therefore it was designed by a supernatural being? Or is it B, many features of nature are best explained by an intelligent cause because in our experience, intelligence is the cause of their informational properties? So before you guys came in here today, who would have thought that the right definition was definition A? Anyone? Okay, fair enough. How about who would have thought it was B? Okay, it's about half and half. Well, if you're good at taking multiple choice tests, you probably guessed that the answer I was looking for is B. But if you chose answer A, as I said, all that means is that you read the newspapers, because that's the definition of intelligent design that our critics put out and then gets recycled from newspaper article to newspaper article to newspaper article. They literally copy and paste from one another over and over again, and we see that definition all the time. So the right definition of intelligent design is this: many features of nature are best explained by an intelligent cause because in our experience, intelligence is the cause of their informational properties. Going back, though, to these definitions right here, what's wrong with definition A? Well, there's two basic things that are wrong with this definition. One is that it frames intelligent design as if it's purely a negative argument against evolution. Basically, it says that intelligent design says that if evolution is wrong, then intelligent design is right. But that's not how intelligent design argues. Intelligent design is a positive argument for intelligent design. And we're going to get into this quite a bit in our talk today. We infer intelligent design through our positive understanding of the type of information that comes from an intelligent agent, and then we look in nature and we find the same kind of information which in our experience comes from intelligent agents, like humans, for example. And the other problem with this definition is it says, therefore, it was designed by a supernatural being. Intelligent design tries to take a strictly scientific approach. It does not try to identify questions about the identity of the designer or even whether the designer is natural or supernatural. Now, I am a Christian. I believe the designer is the God of the Bible. And I feel it's very important to state that whenever I go out and give public presentations like this. I believe the designer is God. But that is not a conclusion of intelligent design. Intelligent design takes a scientific approach, and it does not try to get into religious questions about who the designer is. So while intelligent design can tell you that there was an intelligent force behind life, it's not going to go so far as to identify who that force was. And so that's some of the problems with a lot of the common media misdefinitions of intelligent design that you'll read out there. So let's get into intelligent design. Let's say that you are an astronaut and you land on the planet of the apes. This is the planet of the apes here. And you find this large monolith type structure on this planet. And you want to know, how did this weird, strange, monolithic type structure get on this planet? It doesn't look like a normal geological structure. Well, it's not really clear what it is, but maybe it's a giant crystal. Maybe it's just a naturally growing crystal on this strange planet. Or maybe it's some kind of a structure that was built by these ape-like beings on this planet. You're going to start asking questions. How did this structure arise? Is it the result of natural causes, or is it the result of intelligent causes? What caused this? So intelligent design is in the business of asking questions about, can we discriminate between intelligently caused events and naturally caused events? Now, the interesting thing is that ID reasoning is already being used in a number of sciences. How many of you guys have ever been walking along a stream or taking a hike up in the mountains and you found an interestingly shaped rock and you wondered, maybe is this an arrowhead? Have you guys ever found an arrowhead going out there hiking? I've never actually found one. I love to go hiking. My wife and I go hiking all the time. I've never found an arrowhead before, but I found triangular shaped rocks. And so sometimes you'll wonder, okay, does it have this shape because of just the natural forces of wind and erosion, maybe water action in a stream? Or does it have this shape because it was intentionally chiseled that way by an intelligent agent to serve some purpose? So archaeologists are actually in the business of discriminating between intelligently designed rocks, so to speak, and naturally shaped rocks. There's another interesting field that uses intelligent design reasoning. Any of you guys like the show CSI? What you know is that forensic scientists are in the business of discriminating between naturally caused deaths and intelligently caused deaths, otherwise known as Murder, yes, that's right. If it's an intelligently designed death, someone's going to go to jail. These are very important questions. So what ID proponents are doing is they're saying if we can ask questions in these different fields, archaeology, forensic science, and other fields as well, environmental science is actually a great field that's trying to discriminate between naturally caused events and human intelligently caused events. What is the big debate in environmental science today? So the Earth is warming up, right? Well, is it the result of natural global warming or human-caused global warming? To a certain extent, that's what environmental science is all about, trying to discriminate between intelligently caused events and naturally caused events. These are very important questions, obviously. So ID proponents say if we can ask these questions in all these different scientific fields, why can't we ask this question in biology? There's another interesting field where intelligent design reasoning is being used. Any of you guys seen the movie Contact? Came out probably about, I don't know, maybe it was like 10 years ago now. It's a movie about a project that actually for a number of years was government funded. It's called the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or SETI. And what they're doing is they're using these radio telescopes to scan the skies for radio signals, and they hope that they find a radio signal that is coming from an extraterrestrial civilization. So what are they doing? They're trying to discriminate between naturally caused radio signals, things that might be caused by pulsars or quasars or various interstellar events, and intelligently caused radio signals, which were sent here by an alien civilization to let us know that they're there. Now, they have not found any intelligently caused signals yet, so they haven't detected aliens. But the very fact they're trying to do this kind of reasoning, they're trying to engage in this kind of scientific study to discriminate between naturally caused radio signals and intelligently caused radio signals is very significant. This is very significant. What it shows is that fundamentally, the search for intelligent causes is a proper object for scientific study. And so I think that it's safe to say that unless we're going to adopt a double standard, which many critics are more than willing to do, we have to consider intelligent design as science. So how does intelligent design work? Intelligent design starts off with observations of how intelligent agents design things. And one of these observations that has come about is that the creation of new information is habitually associated with conscious activity. What are we saying here? What we're saying here is that in our experience, information requires a mind. When we have information, it comes from mind. This is actually a quote from a famous information theorist back in the 1960s. And all he's saying is, in our experience, when we see information, we know that it comes from a mind. This is put a little bit more rigorously by my boss, Stephen C. Meyer at Discovery Institute, who wrote in a peer-reviewed scientific article a couple years ago. He said that, quote, our experience-based knowledge of information flow confirms that systems with large amounts of specified complexity, especially codes and languages, invariably originate from an intelligent source, from a mind or a personal agent. What's he saying here? When we see codes, when we see languages, in our experience, that comes from an intelligent source, from a mind or a personal agent. This is very significant. And he uses this term here called specified complexity to describe the kind of information that ID proponents understand and observe is what is produced when intelligent agents act. I'm going to give you guys a more in-depth definition of specified complexity in just a second here. But for now, just understand that specified complexity, or complex and specified information, is the type of information which in our experience comes from intelligent agents, and that would be things like codes or languages. So let's now talk about the logic of the design inference. I mentioned earlier that we infer intelligent design using a positive argument. So what is this positive argument for intelligent design? And we'll start off by talking about complex and specified information. So what does it mean to be complex? Well, information is complex if it is unlikely. If you guys can squint your eyes here, I know this is hard to see, but this is supposed to be some hypothetical microorganism under a microscope here. We'll call it X. And it's full of information. We're studying X. We find that it has all these zeros and ones inside of it. And the odds of these zeros and ones being arranged in the exact order that they are is extremely unlikely, which is another way of saying that it's complex. Now, the fact that something is complex is not alone in and of itself enough for us to infer intelligent design. Let me give you an example. Let's say that I took out a bunch of decks of cards and I dealt every one of you a 5-card hand of poker. Now, the odds of each of you getting the exact cards that you get in that hand is very unlikely, right? I mean, whatever your hand you get, even if it's a royal flush, you're not going to infer intelligent design. You're just going to say, I got this hand of cards by chance, and chance things happen. That's not enough to infer intelligent design. But let's say that I started to deal every one of you a 5-card hand of cards, and every one of you got a royal flush. And then let's say I did it again, and every one of you got a royal flush. And then I did it 100 more times, and every single time I dealt every one of you a hand of cards, you all got a royal flush. Well, what are you going to start to suspect? that the deck is stacked. You're going to really soon start to suspect that the deck is stacked, which is another way of saying that the cards that I dealt were intelligently designed to go out in a certain order. They were ordered by some human to have a certain outcome. So the fact that something is merely complex is not enough to infer design, or the fact that it's unlikely is not enough to infer design. So we have to have one other thing in order to infer intelligent design, and that is called specification. Something is specified if it matches some independent pattern. So as it turns out for the computer geeks in the room, this is actually ASCII code for a sentence. If you convert the zeros and ones from binary into ASCII code, you get this sentence which says, "Biology is the study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose." So now you recognize that those zeros and ones, they were an unlikely pattern, but they were not a random pattern. They actually conformed to a specific set of ASCII code characters that then create a sentence which in English makes quite a bit of sense. And so it's clear that the fact that those zeros and ones are in a specific pattern allows us to infer that they were arranged by some intelligence. And this is actually not just a random sentence here. This is actually a quote from the famous arch-atheist evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins, who said, as I'll say it again here, "Biology is the study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose." So Dawkins thinks that they only appear to be designed, but they're not really designed. Natural selection did the designing, and the design is merely an illusion. Well, what ID proponents are saying is that if something looks designed, well, maybe it actually is designed. And Dawkins says that we can scientifically prove that these structures were not designed, that they resulted from purely natural causes. Well, I would say that if you can scientifically demonstrate that something is not designed, then you should be able to also scientifically demonstrate that something was designed. It just doesn't make sense for you to be able to say, you know, one thing through the scientific method and then not be able to say the exact opposite through the scientific method. So I think that Dawkins has actually exposed the fact that intelligent design is a scientifically testable hypothesis through statements like this. So the basic logic, again, is that an ID theorist observes that mind is the cause of certain types of information. She then goes out and she studies natural objects, we'll say natural object X, and finds that it contains information, and then she infers from that information that a mind was its cause. That's the basic reasoning that goes on in intelligent design. The scientific method is commonly described as a four-step process of observation, hypothesis, experiment, and conclusion. So how does ID use the scientific method? Well, it starts off by observing, ID theorists observe through observations of the natural world around us that intelligent agents produce high levels of complex and specified information, or CSI, and that's exactly what we've been talking about, specified complexity. Then they hypothesize that if natural object X was designed, then it will contain high levels of CSI. Then ID theorists perform experimental tests on natural objects to determine whether they contain CSI. Some examples include genetic knockout experiments, mutational sensitivity tests, computer simulations, but there's all kinds of experimental tests that can be done to test for high CSI in natural objects. And then if you find high CSI, you will conclude that this object X was designed. It's very simple. Intelligent design uses the scientific method to make its claims. How does it do that again? You observe that intelligence is the cause of high CSI. Your hypothesis, your prediction, is that life will contain high levels of complex and specified information. Empirical research uncovers astronomical CSI in biological systems, and the conclusion is that life was designed. And we're going to talk about some of this information in biology in just a minute, and in physics and cosmology as well.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.